doubt about that. They had fun with the animals. I think that was the highlight of the whole thing for the kids, the animals. Brother Ronnie brought a mule and a horse and the goats, and the children took up with them, and I think the animals stuck up with the children. When the children went on the hayride, the animals was about to climb the fence, wanted to go with them. But animals play a big part in our life. Jesus, I believe, was a good shepherd. He takes his sheep out of the fold every morning, and he says he goes before them. They hear his voice, and another they will not follow. So, but that's not what I'm preaching about today. I'm going to preach about the making choices. Making choices. We make choices every day of our life. So turn in your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. The two verses that we'll read for our text, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus is a good shepherd, and he is trying to get his sheep headed in the right direction here, because in the first part of the chapter 7, he says, now don't judge one another. If you judge somebody, you're going to get judged yourself, and if whatever you measure out, it's going to be measured to you again. And why do you behold the mote that's in somebody's eye when yourself has got a big old beam in your own eye? Well, now that's trying to tell us that, look, we're all sinners, and we need help. We're all sinners, and we shouldn't try to say, look, your sin's bigger than mine. Nay, it won't work that way. But listen, Jesus was saying here some things to try to get his people headed in the right direction to go in at the right gate. So he says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Now that's just some common sense, isn't it? Don't give that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine. They won't pay a bit of attention to that. And they'll turn and rend you anyway. It doesn't matter what you try to give them, your precious things. So he's just making some good sense. So he says this in verse number 7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. You see, there's no need to try to be a thief or to take things that don't belong to you. You're supposed to ask. That's good instruction, isn't it? You ask. And then when you're trying to find something, you knock, and it'll be open to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Well, what kind of man would do that? I tell you, he'd have to be an idiot or the meanest man in the world. But he said, look, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Praise the Lord. God wants to do his people good. But we come now to verses 13 and 14, where we've read. We come to making choices. Now, every day we make decisions. And some are easy. A no-brainer. No problem there. We know exactly what decision to make. But there and there are some that are difficult. And they are hard. They're not so easy. But we have to face them anyway. We have to face up to make that choice anyway. And so it is on the spiritual realm. There is things in our life that we must make. And we're talking about something today Here we face these choices, and there must be a choice made. And I'm trying to preach to you today as if I was preaching to the whole world. So listen, there is choices in the spiritual life that we must make. We must make. Now, Jesus lays out three choices here that is before us that they confront us in a way. I mean, every person is confronted with these choices. Now, either you get in the right road or you get in the wrong road. Either you choose the broad road or you choose the narrow road. You see, there's only two choices. In fact, that's the way everything is. You only have two choices. When Jesus lays out these three things before us, you see, they must be made. You've got to make this choice. The most important choice in your life or decision in your life is to make the choice, which road are you going to go? But I want you to consider today, in this point in your life, which road are you on? Are you on the broad road or are you on the narrow road? So, whatever road you get on is going to determine how your life is lived and where your destination is going to be. It all depends on which road that you're on. Now, no one's going to force you to make a choice today, but I want you to consider, I'm just asking you to consider, in the light of your life, which road are you on? And not only that, but there's eternity in sight. There's eternity coming up, and where will your destination be? In the light of God's Word, how's it going to work out? The point is, in reality, in life, only gives us two directions. It only gives us two destinations, and we only have to make two decisions. So we can see that is laid out before us, and the Lord said that. So we look at the things that are before us here. Life often appears so hard and filled with all manner of difficult choices, but there's really only two. There's only two decisions that you'll ever have to make. So here they are. Number one, there is just two ways. Just two ways. Now, you ever get lost when you're traveling? Now, I know men don't get lost. That's just for the ladies. You know, a man, he thinks he knows which way to go, whichever way the sun's setting and whatever. But I have to admit to you, sometimes when I'm traveling, I get on the wrong road, and therefore I have to admit I'm lost. I just made a wrong turn, and now I'm miles away from where I should have been. Why? Because I got on the wrong road. Now, you know, there's an old saying, and it goes back thousands of years, all roads leads to Rome. And maybe that was true. Maybe that was true. But I tell you this, when you get on the wrong road, sometimes you don't end up where you want to go. And so it is spiritually, in the spiritual realm. Where you end up is going to determine on which road that you were on. And if you're on the wrong road, it's going to take you to the place that you don't want to go. Just that simple. Now, it is impossible to take the wrong road and end up in heaven. Do you hear what I said? It's impossible to take the wrong road and end up in heaven. It just will not work. And likewise, it's impossible for you to take the right road and go to hell. Amen. So we're seeing something here that's pretty much positive. It all depends on which road we get on. Now, the Bible tells us that this life is between two eternities. This life that you live is between... Now, that don't mean that you came from eternity. But before you was born, there was eternity. And after you die, there is eternity. But the difference is, in eternity, you're still going to be living. But we all have to face death. We might as well to get that under our cat and know for a fact that we're all going to have to die, because the Bible tells us so. The Bible tells us in James chapter 4, verse number 14, that our life is like a vapor, appears for a little while, vanishes away. And then in Job chapter 14 and verse number 1, man is born of a woman is what? A few days and full of trouble. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. I'm glad he said, it is appointed unto men. And if you don't know what that means, you see, when the rapture comes, I just might escape death. I didn't meet that appointment. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. But we'll continue to live after this life, either in heaven or in hell. There is no in between. We already know that here, but the world doesn't know that. There's a lot of people in the world thinks there's going to be a purgatory. And if you get in purgatory, you can get prayed out. Well, that is not in the Bible. And I don't claim to be a Bible scholar as such, but I'll tell you this. I have never found it in the Bible where there's a purgatory after death. The only purgatory you'll find is on this side of death, the life that you live now. So, listen. You are going to continue to live. Some people think, well, you'll just go to sleep. That'll be the end of it. They think and they hope, because they are on the wrong road. But the two ways consist of, first I'll mention the broad road. Now the broad road is, it means spacious. It means wide open. It means there's a lot of room, and it means also that anything goes. On the broad road, anything goes. Whatever you like. Just whatever you like to do, wherever you like to go, whatever you'd like to be, or just whatever. So anything goes on the broad road. You can carry all of the baggage that you want to. You can take all of your sins and just heap them up and just go with it, and you can go on this broad road, and you can take it with you, because you're the one that makes the rules. Hey, sounding pretty good, doesn't it? The broad road, you make the rules. Nobody has to tell you. You see, you can be religious or you can not be religious. You're on the broad road. You can do anything you want to. You can call on the name of Jesus. You can name the name of Jesus. You can pray. You can read your Bible. Anything you want to do, because you're on the broad road and you make the rules, and anything is all right. Any religion, from Islam to atheism, doesn't really matter. So you can just go on your way, because you are king of the road. On the broad road. It's an easy way to live. Yes, it is. Nobody to tell you what to do. And no one to please but yourself. On the broad road. Sounds pretty good. But wait just a minute. Wait just a minute. Because, listen, there are two things that you need to really know before you decide to go down the broad road. Two things. Number one, you aren't really in control. You thought you was, but you're not really in control. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, who walked according to the course of this world. Well, wait a minute, I thought I was calling the shots here. No, you are walking according to the course of this world. Somebody else was calling the shots. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, ye are of the devil, your father the devil. That's what Jesus said. And he was a liar from the beginning, and he's full of lies. The Bible said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible said over in the book of Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 15, good understanding bringeth favor, but the way of transgressors are hard. You need to know those things before you make that decision to get on the broad road. Not only that, but you need to know where the end of that road is going to lead. Have you ever considered the Kennedys? Now we had John F. was our president back in the 60s. And he seemed to be a good president, but that was back when the media couldn't really get in to make all of the reports and the things that was going on that was evil and those things, and they sort of kept it quiet. But have you ever considered the Kennedy family? Joe Kennedy, John F.'s father, back in the days of Prohibition, when they could not openly sell their liquor and all that, he was running a ship. He'd bring a shipload of booze from wherever it was, over across over sea somewhere or another, and they were selling it on places they called the speakeasies, and they were drinking more booze during the Prohibition than they did before. Who was supplying it? Joe Kennedy. He was the one that was getting rich. But have you looked at that family and saw all of the things that happened to them? It just simply tells you that sin carries an awful price. Sin has a terrible price to pay. But God says there's a better way. God says, I'll give you peace. In John chapter 14 and verse 27, my peace, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Listen to what the Word of God says. God says there's a better way. In Philippians chapter 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God says there's a better way. God says there's the good way. So when we look what God has for us, and the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise the Lord. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. God says there's a better way. The broad road might seem like it's all right, but I tell you, there is a better way. The narrow road. Jesus said, this narrow road. Now, this is something, because I want you to see there's just one word that will explain the whole thing. In verse 14, Jesus said, because straight is the gate. That's why that there's so many on the broad road. The broad road has got many, 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 many people on it, and it's crowded with so many people. But the narrow road, what about the narrow road? Well, it's just opposite of the broad road. It's just opposite. The narrow road literally means that it's like a grape press, where they squeeze the juice out of the grape. It means like a restricted place. It gets narrow. Restricted. has to come to a place where it's hard to get through, distress, difficult. And by the way, if you're living the Christian life, you already know that sometimes life can be difficult. Life can be difficult. There's no doubt about that. But this narrow road, you can't take your bag of sins along with you. No, no. You're going to have to leave that off. It's a narrow road. There's just not room enough for it. You must give up your rights. That don't sound good, do it? People are always saying, I got my rights, or I want my rights. Well, on the narrow road, you have to give up your rights. You do not make the rules. Jesus makes the rules. And you have to obey the rules because He is the Lord. Yes, He is. When you came to Him for your salvation, you came to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Son of God, the one that made the worlds. He is somebody. He's not just somebody you can push around. He makes the rules. Are you with me so far? This is the Bible, and God said to preach this message, so I must preach it. So the things that we have to do is to please the Lord. We do not please ourselves. We cannot please ourselves. You see, He was the one that made the rules. Now, somebody said, well, I'll just live any way that I want to, and the Lord is going to just look down on me and smile. Wait just a moment. You're on the wrong road. You cannot live any way you want to and be on the narrow road. You see, He made the rules. And oh, there is some difficult times that you have to go through. And that's why when people look at this narrow road, they say, I want the broad road. And they get on the broad road, and they can never get off of the broad road. So many think, well, one of these days, what I'm going to do, I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to do right, and I'm going to get saved. People don't know. People don't know that the devil uses a magnifying glass to concentrate all of his diabolical misleadings and all of the sins and everything else, and he focuses it so that it comes down in a burning spot. Like, boy, that's good. Do you ever use a magnifying glass when you was a child? Or we didn't have to be a child. But when I was a child, my dad had a magnifying glass that he used when he was working on a watch or something, and he wanted to really see something fine. And I'd get that magnifying glass and get out on the porch and where the ants was working in the sand. I'd get the sunlight and focus it on that little ant, and you know what would happen? Belly up. Boy, he couldn't take it because it was concentrated. Zap. The devil uses a magnifying glass so that he can focus all of his diabolical things into one focus and to get a person to notice that. And the first thing you know, it's burning in their soul. And the next thing you know, they're having to participate. And the next thing you know, they're hooked and they cannot quit. Nope. Alcoholics, I've seen it happen. They say, well, one of these days I'm going to quit. When are you going to do that? Well, when I get it all drunk up. Poor old drunks. And they'll never be able to get off of the broad road unless the Lord intervenes. You know, I'm telling you the truth. So the Lord said, I've got a better way for you. But these old fleshly bodies, these old fleshly bodies that we have will resist the narrowness of the road. These old fleshly bodies resist anything the Lord says. Lord, I don't want to do that. You see, we're in a comfort zone. We like living in the comfort zone. You can say amen if you want to. If you don't, it's still the truth. I mean, the air condition goes out, we'll die, won't we? Sure, we're living in the comfort zone. But living on this narrow road, it honors God. It honors the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Not only does it honor God, but it brings you blessings and power. In Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Jeremiah 3:33, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Living on the narrow road, yes, it honors God, but it also brings you blessings and power. Now the Bible said in Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In John chapter 10 and verse number 10, Jesus said, talking about old Satan, the devil, he has come to destroy, to kill, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Living for the Lord on the narrow road brings the Lord honor, and it also helps you and me. Secondly, there is just two destinations, heaven and hell. Only two destinations. When we leave this walk of life, we're either going to heaven or we're going to hell. Just that simple. Heaven is a place where there's no pain, no sorrow, no crying, no tears, no death. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 4. Heaven is a wonderful place. We sing about it in the songbook, how beautiful heaven must be. It is a wonderful place because the Lord Jesus Christ is there. There's no sins there. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8, there will be no sin in heaven. There'll be no night there. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 25, there'll be no curse there. The curse will be lifted. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 3, the curse is all gone. Heaven is a wonderful place, but I don't want to even take time to tell you about hell, because hell is an awful, awful place. It's a place where nobody wants to go. But listen, the sad thing about it is, it's for eternity. When a person goes to hell, there's no coming back. It's a place of thirst. It's a place of torment. And the Bible tells us that. So there's only two places. But oh, how beautiful heaven must be. But last of all, let me mention this. There is just two gates. There's the wide gate, and there's the straight gate. The wide gate, that's the gate to the broad road. But that straight gate, now Jesus didn't say it was a narrow gate. He said it's the straight gate. And Jesus is that straight gate. Yes, He is. Jesus is the straight gate. In John chapter 10 and verse number 9, Jesus said, I am the door. No man entereth in except by me. If a man comes in any other way, he's a robber, he's a thief. He'll be cast out. The Bible said in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the way. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the Word of God is like a tree cut down and cast out on a frozen lake. There that tree lays, and you can look at it and see that it is not part of the lake. one day when the sun begins to shine, the spring of the year comes, and the thaw begins to happen, what happens? That tree will go down in the water, and it'll become part of the lake. And that's the way the Word of God is. When the Word of God is sown in your heart, one day, it'll become part of you. Amen? And that's why that you're in the house of God today, on the Lord's Day, to worship the Lord. It's because of the Word of God that's been planted in you. But there's people that will not accept the Word of God. They say, I'd rather be on the broad road. And they're out here in the world, they're going wherever they might want to go. Now, I'm not talking about people taking a vacation or anything like that. I'm talking about people that gets out and mows their yard on Sunday as if it was Monday. Why? Because they're on the broad road. They're calling the shots. They're doing what it pleases themselves. But listen, when you're living for the Lord, there are some restrictions, and there are some places that you might want to go. You're kind of restricted from it. But it don't hurt. I haven't missed a thing in this world myself. Are you listening? I'm telling you what the Word of God says. I didn't preach this message to make somebody feel good. I'm telling you the truth so you can determine which road you're on. I know where I'm going, and I know the road that I'm on, and it's a narrow road, but that's all right. It's leading to a big place. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you for the narrow road. We realize, Lord, it's your road. And we realize the Lord today is the one that we're serving. And Lord, we want to please you. We want to please you with our life and to make it so that people will see there's a difference and to honor our Lord and to lift up his name. I pray, Lord, if there's one here today that's lost, would you save him for Jesus' sake? But most of all, help us to consider, Lord, are we on the right road? Because it leads to a place either where we would love to be or a place where we would not want to be. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.